I don't know. I don't have like a magic trick for you, unfortunately. I would definitely tell you if I did.
Hey, welcome to a new episode of your favorite illustration podcast, Paid to Draw. We are the only illustration podcast there is. Please do not fact check this information. You're just going to have to believe us. just kidding. Of course, there's other ones. There's Illustration Hour with Julia Dufossé. There's the Illustration Department podcast with Giuseppe Castellano. There's, I don't know, 3-Point Perspective and so many more. Not to forget Design Matters, of course, which is more in the realm of, well, art and design. But I think we can all agree that Debbie Millman is the best. If there was a ranking, we'd probably be the, 52nd best art and design podcast, but we try. I am one of your hosts, David Leutert, but you can call me Dave. And I'm an illustrator and lettering artist based in Berlin. With me here is my amazing co-host, lettering legend, illustration influencer, drum kit destroyer, stick and poke aficionado, and all around acceptable person, Vicky Vicuña Chihon.
Thank you so much for thinking that I'm acceptable.
You're all right.
My name is Victoria Chihon, as my co-host said. I am an illustrator from Berlin, and today I'd also like to introduce you to our wonderful guest, all the way from the US, Monique Aimé. Yay!
Yay!
Hi!
Hi!
Thank you!
Monique is a multidisciplinary artist based out of Boston, represented by Closer and Closer. Her work ranges from digital illustration to hand-painted murals to chain-stitch patches, all with themes of empowerment and self-care. Monique studied illustration in Boston at Leslie Art and Design and typography in Melbourne. She has lived in Australia and Japan and now resides back in Boston working out of Joy Street Studios.
Hey Monique, welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming.
Yeah, we're really excited.
Yeah.
We'd always like to start out by asking our guests about how they began their careers. So how did you get where you are today?
Yeah. So I studied illustration, like you said, at Leslie and here in Boston. And then I worked at Whole Foods for a couple years as a sign maker. So like doing chalkboards, but also it wasn't super glamorous. It was also like laminating sales signs and like, you know, things like that. And it was in a basement. So 2 years of that, I was ready to be out of a basement.
Ambitious.
And I decided to go to Australia. Yeah. I was like, I'm getting as far away from this basement as possible. So yes, went to Australia. I studied typography while I was there. I ended up living there for a full year.
Wow.
And I also lived in Japan, for half a year, and all the while I was like growing my social media channels, and getting more work that way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And freelancing. And while I was in Japan, I got picked up by my current, representation, Closer and Closer. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where I am today now, back in Boston and represented.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm curious, what are the requirements to work in a basement for Whole Foods? No, but sorry. No, but seriously, like, cause they had you draw or paint on, well, chalkboard, or you were essentially a sign maker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have any prior design background at that point, or how did that come about?
They just wanted, well, I had the degree in illustration, mm-hmm. so I think that was what got me that job. At the end of college, I got really into hand lettering, so my portfolio had a lot of hand lettering in it. Mm-hmm. Really bad hand lettering, to be fair. But
you gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, and then I remember when I was interviewed, they had me do like a test sign, or they wanted me to copy their current sign maker, and see if I could copy his work, and I did, and so then I got the job.
Cool.
Did you get to put in your own style a little bit, or did you just have to copy his work because that's the design guidelines?
I was able to put in my own style a bit, but then there also was very much the like Whole Foods brand standards. I had to learn like the specific style of writing, which is kind of just like a casual sign painter style. But then, you know, there's some projects where it was a little bit more creative and I could really add illustration elements into it. Still, you know, like drawing like a cow and cheese or something, but I can make it more me.
Cool. Sounds fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a cool job. It was a good way to start my career.
Yeah. If you walked into a Whole Foods or a Trader Joe's, which of those two chains, subjectively, what do you think? Who has the better signs? Or just better all-around signage, murals, just interior?
Hands down, Trader Joe's. Whole Foods doesn't have sign makers like they used to. Like my job doesn't exist anymore, at least at the level I was at, because they used to have two sign makers at every store. That no longer is a thing. Because of Daddy Amazon. So then, yeah, Trader Joe's, I believe, still has sign makers.
Yeah.
And you can tell. It looks a lot better.
Cool. Well, Monique, you're an illustrator and hand letterer who animates, paints murals, and you're also very crafty. For example, you've been creating lovely handmade goods with a vintage chain stitch sewing machine that have now been picked up by Madewell, making you one of their hometown heroes. I'd love to hear more about your passion for chain stitching. What is it about craft or the ability to create physical things with your hands that you can't find in digital work? For instance, like when you're doodling on the couch on an iPad, because that's fun too.
It is fun doodling on an iPad. I think after years of just creating digital illustrations or lettering, I want to go back to more hands-on work. Or I just like having both to keep me sane. Like growing up, I used to paint all the time. I learned how to knit. I learned how to crochet. Like in summer camp, I would make like the little friendship bracelets. Mm-hmm. Like I was always making stuff.
Ooh, yes.
When I was younger. And yeah, I want to still do that. It's just like really fun to learn new things and to keep that curiosity going. And then it reflects also, I think, on my digital illustration work as well. But yeah, chain stitch is so cool. Like the machine is, I didn't sew a lot before, and this machine is very unique. Like it only chain stitch, it's chain stitches. Yeah, I love it. I think the first artist I saw who does it is Jenna of Vitchcraft.
Yes.
She kills it. Like she's amazing. Does such good work. So I saw her first, and then here in Boston, I saw a chain stitcher at a market, and I was like, that is the coolest thing.
Yes.
So once I saw it in person, I was like, okay, I need to find a machine. And they're not easy to find.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Cool. What's the learning curve like? Have you been sewing before? Is that something you were already familiar with?
I had done a little bit of sewing, but this machine works completely differently. Like I steer underneath the table.
Okay.
So, you know, like normal sewing, it's all on top of the table. And you kind of just go one direction or, you know, back or forth. But chain stitch, with the handle underneath the table, you can kind of have it grow wherever you want. It feels closer to drawing, which is why I love it so much. And I think my illustrations and lettering can translate to chain stitch pretty well. Because yeah, it does feel like drawing. Although it took a while to get used to, it's like relearning how to use a pencil.
Yeah. Cool. Yep. But you also paint by hand quite a bit, right? Because I've seen you paint on bags for Coach and stuff. Is that something you're still doing actively, or has your your sign painting passion been replaced by chain stitching?
It has been replaced a bit by chain stitching, not gonna lie. But it also depends on the time of year. Like the last 2 years, I've had a Halloween gallery, like Halloween show on Cape Cod. And so I would make a collection of paintings for that show.
Cool.
So usually like end of summer, I'll get back into painting and make new work for that. It just depends how I feel.
Mm-hmm. It's a reoccurring show on always on Halloween.
The past 2 years, we'll see how it goes. Okay. But I love Halloween and I love autumn and just like New England in that time of year. Mm-hmm. So if I could keep it going every Halloween to have a show, like I'm down.
This sounds great. So much fun.
Yeah.
And you could dress up.
Yeah. I saw you made a costume, or you like had a skeleton chain stitched on a sweater.
Yes.
I think it's a really nice costume because it is a costume, but you can also wear it just like that. It's not too costumey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, that honestly felt like part of like an art piece in the show was just making the costume.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like I was part of my paintings.
Yeah, and everything you do during the show is a performance then, basically.
Yep.
I want a skeleton jumper now.
I should make more.
Yes. Yes, I want one too. Yeah, I've been following along your crafty endeavors on TikTok. And in one of your TikTok, you mentioned that you made 6 figures last year. And for our listeners who are panicking right now, is typically not the norm. It is quite a lot. At least for me personally, I have not made this much money in a year yet.
Not yet.
So I think it's very impressive. Yep. And I want to know how you did that. So what are the ways you have grown your business? Like what are the parts of your business?
I mean, I said yes to a lot of projects for that year. Probably too many. I was juggling a lot.
Okay.
But I just loved it. I think like financially the biggest change that has happened in my career is signing on with Closer and Closer. And just like having an agent to back me up. They price a lot better than I used to. Like I never really got comfortable with pricing, and still sometimes when they price, I'm like reading the emails in the background and I'm like, wow, that's crazy. So that helps a lot.
Yeah.
And confidence with pricing is huge. And then, yeah, I think having put my work out for so many years, I am seeing like the benefits of it now. Mm-hmm. I feel like I don't have to promote myself quite as much. And I can just focus on making the work. And also now that I have some projects like under my belt, those get more work, like sharing those projects. Gets me more work, just sharing it on social channels. And then also like the art directors I worked with now know I exist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if they change jobs, they can, they still know I exist now at a different job, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have like a magic trick for you, unfortunately. I would definitely tell you if I did.
Okay, thanks.
But yeah, it's definitely...
No, I'm kidding.
It's definitely just illustration work.
Yeah, but do you also... I saw that you did a lot of book covers, which are almost as... If you put them on top of each other, they're almost as tall as you.
Not quite. But...
Not yet, but soon.
I'm pretty short.
That's one of your goals, right?
Yes.
Yeah, is that also... Is that a passive income thing then, if you do a book cover, or is it... Like, do you have any passive income streams as well for that?
I don't have too many passive income because the book covers are usually paid up front.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Not anything crazy, but yeah, paid up front. I did do one project that had royalties, which is a bit of a gamble because you don't know if it's going to sell well.
Mm-hmm.
That was specifically for like merchandise type of products, like notebooks and little handbags and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I do every now and then get royalties from that, but it is not much.
Okay.
And then I have one passive income on, like, that I sell through my shop. I have a Fat Bottom Lettering zine, like a digital download. So that's a passive income. But yeah, but otherwise I just gotta keep drawing.
Okay.
That's right. You have an online shop, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's nothing crazy. It's okay. It's more for fun, for when I chain stitch and I have too much chain stitch for one person and I want to share the goods.
Right.
I do really like designing I like designing products and having full control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But so you would say that these products that you do yourself are more like mostly for fun. They're not like the main thing in your business.
Yeah, definitely a small portion of the income. Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. But do you plan on expanding or hiring someone to help? Or do you think like you can manage all of this in the future?
I definitely can't manage it. but I don't know. I don't know what that means. I think, honestly, if anything, I would want to make like at least the shop part of my job. I'd want to make that smaller and maybe just do drops whenever I have stuff. I don't really want to expand that one. But for illustration and like commercial work, I have been trying to say no more and just like really get selective.
Yeah.
And it just frees me up to take on the projects that I really want to take on, that have the best budgets too, not gonna lie.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm open to potentially getting help. I just don't even know what that looks like. Yeah, I'm not sure yet.
Do you, you don't delegate any tasks, you don't collaborate with other people too much, you do it all by yourself? Because I have to say I'm slowly reaching a point where I'm considering hiring an assistant or something, because there are just times where I feel so overwhelmed that I just don't even know how to do it all on my own anymore. It's just too much, you know? And then sometimes you miss that moment where you have a chance to say no and you just get too excited and you say yes. And then you realize, it's actually too much. I should not have, should not have done that.
I feel that. Yep. I guess, yeah, an assistant would probably be good. I do currently do everything, like, except obviously like what my representation does. But otherwise I do everything. I'll hire photographers.
Okay.
That's probably the only thing I outsource. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Sounds like
it.
That is very smart to hire photographers, because I always struggle so much with taking photos of my work. And I also only have an iPhone 7, so that's also part of the problem. It's so bad, and I always have to use half a day to set up lighting, and then I'm just not happy with it, and then I end up not taking nice photos of it and just do a mock-up in Photoshop. So hiring somebody to help you out is very smart.
The first time I hired someone, I was like, oh, wow, this is like a big deal. But once I did that, I was like, oh, it was so worth it. Like they did such better work than I could have for photography. So it's worth it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Do either of you ever consider trying to really get good at 3D modeling? So you could just kind of, because I feel like product photography, I mean, obviously it's still relevant, but at the same time, if you just do it all in 3D and you can kind of like, manipulate the lighting, and if it's not right today, then you can still fix it tomorrow. You don't have to hire that photographer again. Is that something you would want to learn? Or even, because it's also technically, if you're not interested in it, you could also just outsource it and find someone who's savvy at CGI stuff.
That's true. I've never even thought about that, honestly. I don't know anything about 3D modeling. That's no clue. Yeah. No clue what's happening there.
Not a damn thing. Yeah.
I just think I would have to get a better laptop for that. because I don't think it would be able to handle this. Like sometimes when I do video stuff or something in After Effects, it's like really coming to the limit.
After Effects is a little scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think 3D is maybe even more. Yeah, more work for your laptop. So I don't know. But I'm not really intrigued by that idea.
Yeah, that sounds like a headache. That sounds like something I don't want.
It does, but at the same time, it's not like, I don't even know why I came up with it. Maybe it's just because it's something I've been thinking about. Because then once you acquire all of that knowledge, it doesn't mean you only have to use it to, you know, replace photo shoots with that skill set. You can also just, I don't know, create cool 3D art. I don't know. I think lately I've just been thinking about trying to get into Blender because I like how it kind of combines both the 3D modeling and also the animation aspect of it, and just it being open source and free is kind of
That's very cool. Nice,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This is turning into a 3D illustration podcast.
You should do it. I want to see it.
But you mentioned, we briefly touched on After Effects. Just wanted to ask you, how do you do your animations? Do you do them in After Effects? Or I saw that you also use Procreate. Is that true?
Yes. I do both. When I first started like learning animation, for some reason I did After Effects first, which is terrible. It was just a lot to learn.
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I know the basics of After Effects, and sometimes it's easier for me to use. I guess if it's a more complicated design or there's specific tools I want to use in After Effects, I'll use that program. But if I'm just making like a little sticker or a simple animation, I actually do prefer like frame by frame animation just in Procreate. I would like to learn Adobe Animate. I think that would be better.
I don't know how this works. Is this also frame by frame Adobe Animate?
Yes. From the little bit I've researched. I still need to dive in more. But I think it would be like what I do on Procreate, but better, and like I could layer things. You can't really layer in the frame by frame when you're in Procreate, so it's limiting. And I think frame by frame is just like so interesting and like smoother almost in a way, or it doesn't look like a computer did it, and that's what I like about it.
I could recommend Adobe Fresco for that. It's also more similar to Procreate, I think, and you can do really nice frame by frame with different layers, and it is a bit, I think it's a bummer that when you do something more complicated, you can only do it in Fresco, and I wanted to export it somewhere else and work on it, and that is like not really working so well. But I think like if you like Procreate for animation, Fresco could be interesting because you have slightly more options. But then again, I haven't used Procreate in a while, so maybe that changed again.
I should try that.
Cool. Yeah. That's good advice. Cause I feel like Procreate's animation tool still has a ways to go.
Yes.
It's great for what it is, but it's like it could be so much better than it is at this point in time, at least.
For sure.
So we'd mentioned that you've spent some time abroad. Being a hand lettering artist in Japan must have been both inspiring and challenging. Did you learn to letter the whole kanji with like a brush? Or what aspects of living abroad in both Asia and Australia specifically would you say inspired your art? Because I haven't been to either of those places. I always wanted to see Melbourne too, and Tokyo just sounds so wonderful. Tell us all about that right now.
You got it. Come right up.
Do it.
I loved both places for different reasons. Definitely fell in love with Australia. I mean, I think specifically in Melbourne, like the food cafe scene, I was obsessed with. I loved that. I could just like stroll down the road, go to a nice cafe. And yeah, the music scene was amazing. The design scene. I really loved just like people watching too, because I feel like everyone there dressed really cool, and like the type of people who could pull off a mullet, I'm into. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just loved it. And yeah, and then Japan. Oh man, Japan was a whole different thing.
Less ironic mullets.
Yeah, less mullets, more suits, a lot more suits.
Okay.
But yeah, what about Japan? I mean, the cuisine, the culture. I loved going to like local izakayas, learning about onsens. Got kicked out of an onsen. Loved that.
That's a bathhouse, right?
Or yeah, what? Yeah, the Japanese bathhouse.
Okay.
What did you do?
Got it.
You can't have tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
So I've heard.
Yeah, not all of them, but like at least in Tokyo, like a bigger city, you can't have them, or you have to cover them up. But if you have too many, then it's hard.
How would you do that?
There's like big bandages you could put on.
Okay.
Oh wow.
To cover it up, so you like pretend you have like a wound. It's like a big Band-Aid.
Oh right. Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Oh, I would look ridiculous.
The first time I went, I straight up lied, which was rude. But they had asked me, and I was like, no, nothing to see here. I was in there for probably a good hour, so it was worth it before they noticed. Yeah, Japan was great. I really liked just walking around and exploring. I loved going into like little 7-Elevens and just seeing the little Japanese treats everywhere. And then yeah, like the signage. The kanji, like a completely different type of alphabet. I don't know. I loved everything.
Cool. I'm so jealous. I want to go. This is stupid. I should not even bring this up. I once went to a hipster coffee shop somewhere in Berlin Kreuzberg in the southern part of Berlin, a Japanese coffee shop. And I'm not even a coffee drinker, so I had like tea or something. But the memorable part was the toilet.
Oh, yes.
I'm so sorry to even bring this up, but it's just
you're right. On another level. Yeah.
It's like, and I by no means am I trying to reduce Japanese culture to only their toilets, but they're just superior.
They're
so much better. And it's like, why are we using, you know, toilet paper? It's just like, I just want to live in a world where they're just everywhere. So because some people, you know how some people just save for years and decades to be able to afford their dream car. I could not care less about cars. I've ever since that experience, I've wanted my own personal Japanese toilet.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have said that.
That is
anyway,
but there were times in Japan where there were so many buttons on the toilet, I was stressed.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yeah. That sounds about right. I don't know. Japan sounds fun. Apart from the whole toilet situation, I don't know. I've always wanted to see it. How do you even get a visa? How much you spend about what like a half a year in Japan?
I did two tourist visas, so I did 2 3-month stays.
Oh, yeah, okay,
so
got
6 months total.
Are you allowed to work on a student visa? I mean a tourist visa?
No. I was fully freelancing. So all my clients were U.S. based, some Australian too, I think. But
right,
I could not legally work there. Towards the end, I was considering maybe trying to get like a teaching visa or something, but it just didn't work out. And so then I came back to Boston.
Cool.
But then when I was in Australia, I did working holiday, and I was able to work for the full year I was there.
Cool.
Visas, they're a nightmare.
They really are. Yep.
Do you have any more plans to travel and stay in some other country for longer? Or do you feel like you want to stay in Boston right now and you feel settled?
I do feel settled now. I finally, like, I have an apartment I really like.
Yes, it's very beautiful. I saw it. I was so jealous.
I feel like that's been like I've worked so hard to have a space that is all my own,
yeah,
and that, yeah, amazing. I just really like Thank you. It looks like I live in a cabin in the woods, but I'm in a city. It's very silly. Yeah, I do. Since the travel I just did to Miami and LA, I mean, it was just in the US, but I feel like that sparked the travel bug again. And I would love to travel some more. Mm-hmm. I also was in Colorado maybe a month ago. So yeah, it just reminded me like flying isn't scary anymore. And like, you know, with the pandemic and everything. And I would definitely love to travel more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not probably anything that would require like a crazy visa, but I am the type of person when I do travel, I like going for a decent amount of time. Like,
yeah.
I'm not trying to just run around. Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah.
But you have no concrete plans right now? Yeah. Like, no. Okay.
Not at the moment. Well, I definitely. So my best friend still lives in Australia. And I think their borders mm-hmm. are open, or they are opening. So I want to visit when it's winter here. So, you know. In less mm-hmm. than a year. Mm-hmm. And she might get married in Turkey, so maybe I'll go to Turkey.
Ooh, yeah.
That's cool. They're all tentative plans right now. Yeah.
That sounds fun. Well, I hear Berlin is nice too, so if you ever feel like seeing something
yes,
else.
Yes, I do need to go there.
Yeah, definitely in summer though.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, it's very, very depressing in winter. I wouldn't attempt that.
Okay. I'll just stay in depressing Boston.
And winter is like 8 months long here. So
it doesn't last long?
It does. It's just always cold here. It's we get like 3 warm months and that's about it. So make sure if you ever come to, you know, this part of Europe, make sure you come in the summer.
Okay. That's good to know.
But yeah, you're right. Boston does tend to get cold too.
Yeah. Yeah, I need to do that. Will I have tour guides?
You definitely will most certainly.
That sounded a little hesitant.
No, we just invited you and then we're just not gonna Amazing. Return your calls.
We could do an apartment swap if you want.
Oh yeah.
You can be in my tiny studio apartment and I stay in your cabin in the city.
My cabin in the city.
Seriously, I'll take Monique's apartment.
That sounds great.
It does look really cozy. Isn't it so creepy that both Vicky and I, even though we've never met you in real life, we both know what your apartment and your studio looks like? And I'm frankly obsessed with your studio. I want a studio like that.
The studio, I'm very lucky. And to be fair, all the cool stuff in here is my studio mates. Like the cool pendant lights, the rainbow wall. Like that's all my studio mates. And they never come in anymore. Mm-hmm. So I just go free like this. I pretend it's online.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you prefer working alone or do you like it when there's other people around?
I like having other people around. Unless I'm trying to shoot TikToks, there has been a couple times where I'm trying to shoot and then all of a sudden like my studio mate will walk in and I'm like.
Yeah, no.
I'm not doing this.
So awkward, I know.
Don't watch me. Yeah. but otherwise, yeah, I do really like having studio mates or other people to work with. I feel like also it's good to like, yeah, when they were here, we used to, or I would convince them at some point to go get margaritas mm-hmm. at some point during the day.
During the day?
Uh-huh. Well, you know, afternoon. but it was nice to know that there was like, okay, I need to get work done so that we can go have fun. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the pandemic took that away where I was like, well, I have nothing to do and I will just work forever.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And margaritas by yourself or it's just not the same.
It's not the same. No good.
Yeah. We mentioned that we've been stalking you on social media because you're very present in different various social media channels. On TikTok, you also like to educate your audience on what it means to run a successful freelance business. Why is giving back to the design community so important for you? Or is it important for you?
Is it?
I'm just assuming.
yeah, it definitely is. I mean, I had mentors along the way to be where I am. And I for sure looked up to a bunch of artists on social media when I was figuring out my career. I mean, still figuring it out, but you know. And yeah, I want to be that person now too. And I feel like I mean, I had the mentors, but I also had, you know, I spent a lot of time just Googling and figuring stuff out on my own, making mistakes, mm-hmm. learning from them. And I'm happy to share that knowledge. It's also kind of nice to share that knowledge and realize like how far I've come mm-hmm. from being completely clueless fresh from college. And now I have some clues, yeah. mm-hmm. not all, but some. So yeah, I do like sharing. And I think especially when I started TikTok, one of my earlier videos was introducing myself and a little bit more of an educational twist on it. And it did really well. And it made me realize that there are so many younger artists that are starving mm-hmm. for this knowledge. And so it really gave me direction with my TikTok to be like, okay, that's where I should focus for TikTok. And then Instagram, I'm a little bit more like,
mm-hmm. yeah,
lifestyle and here's my illustration work, right. you know? Because I don't want them identical.
Yeah, they're very different. I mean, we talked a lot about TikTok on this podcast, but it's relevant. I feel like on TikTok, you share also more of your personality and also of your beautiful flat and your plants and all of that. I think that's always nice because
my plants.
Otherwise, it's so one-sided. It's only about illustration and there's so much more to an illustrator than just their work.
Yeah, and I think it's good for people to know that I'm just a human behind here who, like, I'm just Googling stuff too. Like, mm-hmm. yeah. I'm learning. I'm not this person who just knows everything about illustration and design. Like, I make mistakes too. And so, yeah, I just want to be real and have people know that too.
I think that's super, super important. And all the information you share on TikTok is super valuable because it's mostly stuff they don't teach you in art school, you know. It's just,
yes,
how do you run a successful freelance business? I don't know, ask Monique.
Yeah. Art school does not teach that. It's crazy.
What other skills would you like to acquire and potentially integrate into your practice? Have you been trying any new tools or techniques lately? What does the future look like for Monique Amy?
So this year I've been dabbling more, well, with my personal work, I've been getting into quilting.
Oh, cool.
Ooh,
sounds fun.
Yeah, well, I've found with my chain stitch work, I've had more scrap fabric and mm-hmm. I didn't want to throw it out. So I've been learning to quilt. I did do hand quilting in like peak pandemic time. And yeah, I made a quilt during that time. But now I've been experimenting more with machine sewing for quilting. Mm-hmm. And then,
sorry, you did this by hand before?
Yeah. When I had absolutely no social life. Yeah, I would just sit in my room and like hand quilt and watch Netflix forever. yep.
Okay. Did sounds that. Intense.
Yep. Really, it was just watching a lot of TV and like doing something with my hands, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that too.
Yeah, it's very relaxing. And then I would like to learn more animation or just learn the programs better, I think. I think that would be good for the illustration part of my career. Yeah.
Is that something clients have specifically been asking you for, or is it just something that you would like to just know how to do for yourself?
A bit of both. Like, I definitely see the potential in it. And sometimes when I think about illustrations, I'm like, oh, it'd be so cool if it could animate, but I just don't know how to do it. Sometimes. And I have gotten requests for animation work. There was one time I partnered with an animator so that they could animate my illustration. But it would be cool if I could I just want to do it all. Not feasible, but I want to.
Do you also have a dream project you would like to do? It doesn't have to be specifically a client or a brand, but like a type of project you would like to get hired for?
I mean, within animation, if I could get better at it, I think it'd be really cool to do like a music video. I started dabbling with my friend's music, making an animation. I got like 30 seconds in and I was like, oh my God, this is going to take forever. And so I stopped, but maybe I'll pick it back. But like that would be, if I could learn animation to a certain degree, like that would be a very cool dream project to do a music video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's super applicable too. I mean, even 30 seconds, all these cloud rap, God, I'm sounding so old. All these cloud rap songs are all like 2 minutes or a minute and a half long. So people just listen to them over and over and they just collect more clicks on Spotify. But like, I mean, it's realistic to do music videos. And then also whenever you listen to music on Spotify, did you notice these little looped video snippets that they show? They're only like, I don't know, like 5 seconds long each or something. Eight seconds. Oh, okay. Yeah. Vicky knows.
Yeah, they're called Canvas.
Canvas, that's right. Yeah, I feel like I've heard of that. Whenever I see them, I'm like, please, can someone hire me to do those? They look so fun and just, I don't know, sounds like a dream gig to me.
I haven't noticed those, but that sounds awesome.
Yeah. And I would love to see your illustration style with some cloud rappers. It's like so funny to imagine like some cloud trap rap music and then have like your colorful happy illustrations over it.
That would be great.
That would be really cool.
I think that would go well,
if anyone
really well together.
Needs a music video.
Yeah. Do you have any like music people listening on here?
We don't really have anyone listening at this point, so no.
I'm just saying that for the future whenever this is posted.
Oh, okay. Well then, go ahead and hire Monique if you're in the music business. Do it now.
Yes.
One thing I was going to say with like skills for this year, not necessarily like art skill, but this year I've really focused more on like, I guess time management, but in a way of making time for self-care. And not just running myself to the ground as I normally do. And it's been really good already this year, like making sure I go exercise or I go outside. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, like, do you guys do that too? Or like, do you find that balance? It's hard.
I am actually trying really hard not to work too hard.
Yes.
So I'm really good at relaxing at this point. I think it was much worse years ago. But I think I did change my routine and also my mindset a little bit. I thought like I don't have to do all of it. But I'm also fine not being super busy. But I would love to hear what specifically you changed. Like, did you change your routine or how did you manage to find time to exercise and chill?
I've changed it where like mornings are fully me time. I'll get up, make coffee, I go to the gym, come back, I'll like shower, make breakfast, and then I'll go to the studio. So studio starts at like 10:30 the earliest. Which is a lot later than I used to work, but it just feels so much better to have that morning routine and to like start the day exercising and then get into the art part of the day. But it is a fine balance because I do think sometimes I end up being too tired for the art part of the day and that's no good. So I'm still like trying to find that right balance. Mm-hmm. And I'm absolutely useless at night. Like once like late afternoon, evening comes around, I have no creative energy. So I really have to like time it right. Yeah.
But it seems to work.
It's been working. Yep.
Right? Yep. Yeah. That's an achievement.
I've been enjoying it. We'll see how it goes. And I mean, it changes too. Like if I have a big project and I don't have time, like I'll just go straight to the studio. But so like I can change the schedule if I need to, but yeah.
I think it's really important to have that healthy balance. You can't just work. It's already more than enough work you have as a freelancer as is. So you do, just like you said, you do just have to kind of like carve out the time to do something for yourself every day. And you can't, just because you, if you just force yourself to sit at a desk for 10 hours, doesn't mean you'll end up being more productive than just having like a really focused 3 hours. You know, you might get just as much done. And for me personally, both of you already have studios. To me, this is kind of new. I haven't had one in 2 years. I just found one, and it's made such a huge difference just being able to go somewhere and kind of separate your home from where you
That's
work.
That's awesome. Yeah. It is, but it's nice to have them separate.
I also wanted to ask you, are you still skating? Because in one of your interviews, I think you mentioned that you picked up skating, but it was a year ago. Sure. So I just wanted to know if you're still doing this.
I'm not, but to be fair, it was definitely like an outdoor summer or like warmer weather activity. And it's been, you know, like winter and cold here. I still have my skates. I think I would go back to meetups once it's warm out. I'm still really bad. And obviously from not skating for like months, I'm way worse, but it's fun. And they're pink skates, so you just feel better automatically.
Yeah. Color is very important.
Yeah.
So you actually go to meetups. You don't go by yourself, but you go when there's a group.
Yeah, there was these, oh man, I forget what they're called right now, but yeah, they were just like skate meetups. So any kind of skates, any kind of wheels,
that's cool.
Basically. You can come skate.
Yeah.
Sometimes they would have like music, seltzer water. Mm-hmm. It was just like a nice vibe. So, and yeah, you can meet other people.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it was a nice time. I'm glad I did it. And I definitely would do it again. I still need to learn how to stop, though.
I mean, yeah, that would help. How have you been stopping so far?
Well, you either slow down or find a patch of grass and like start walking on the grass. Or like, you know, like a fence. Oh, I love a good fence. And it's just like in a parking lot. It's not like on the street or something scarier.
Okay.
That's cool. Yeah. I've been talking to some illustrator friends, and I'm also personally roller skating since last year. And I think it's so nice to have a new hobby that is not related to my job, that is not like I can't make money with this. Not yet.
Yes.
I'm not good enough. But yeah, that's not my goal. I just want to try things. And I'm also not very good, but it's just really nice to do something that is not related, because everything else like crocheting or craft, like I can always think like, I can sell this. I can incorporate this with my illustrations. Yes. And really nice to have a break from that.
I feel that way too with getting into plants the past year. I mean, to be fair, I spend money there and I can't really make it. Yeah. So it's great.
Plants are so fun.
Yeah, learning to take care of them. Where to put them in my apartment that looks good. I don't know. It sounds really boring, but I really enjoy it.
Doesn't sound boring at all.
And I can't make money from it, so it's awesome.
Oh, sounds wholesome.
Cool.
Good.
All right. So lastly, we'd like to give our listeners an opportunity to actually see your beautiful art and also to see your flat, obviously. So where can people find you online?
So I'm at Monique Amy on Instagram, TikTok, and most social platforms, or my website, moniqueamy.com. And then I also am currently selling my products through Madewell. You could just look up my name there as well.
Perfect.
Cool. Well, thanks everyone for listening. This was the 5th episode of Pay to Draw. To all of our listeners, all 3 of them, we'll be back next week with more exciting interviews with some of the best illustrators out there. Until then, stay paid. Is that a catchphrase we should try to establish? Oh, right? That's horrible. I'll never say that again.
I mean, you try.
Sorry. All right. Okay. I tried. I'll try to come up with something better. All right, that's it for now.
Thank you.
Bye.
You.
Thanks for tuning in to Paid to Draw. Please don't forget to subscribe to get all the latest episodes and leave a 5-star review. Don't miss out on all the exciting interviews we have coming up.
If you want to follow us on Instagram, you can find us at Paid to Draw Podcast. I'm at Vicuña_illustration.
And I'm at David Leuter. That's at David, LEUTERT.
The music is by Amanda Depp. That's Amanda and DEFF. See you next week.